So the bottom line is, when you're in Los Angeles and you've got Paul Weller playing in certain quarters, don't take calls, don't sort anything else. Marvellous. Phil Leonis, you can hear us. You see, Phil Leonis, he can hear us. You see what we're doing?
Absolutely. Not only can I hear you, but I could hear all of the Celine Dion song. Hey, wouldn't Town Called Malice be a great title for a Western?
I think so. I think we definitely could be going through that routine. We could have a computer-generated James Stewart there together with a computer-generated Doug McClure. And we could actually go to Shenandoah. We could even have computer-generated Lorne Greene, Dan Blocker, Michael Landon, and Pernell Roberts. Yes, Katie Grimerson.
All on next week's Midweek Drive.
Yeah.
It'll be fantastic.
Katie Grimerson had a very special time for her very last American Icons and Images seminar, because I screened Katie and her fellow Level 1 American Studies students an entire episode of Bonanza. Did you enjoy it, Katie?
Yeah, I did, actually.
It's a treat to work through that. It's very good. With Pernell Roberts.
Katie, did it bother you that there were all these men and nary a woman in sight anywhere on the Ponderosa? Wasn't that odd?
Not really.
Wasn't it odd that that Lorne Greene, who plays the patriarch of the family, had a son in Pernell Roberts who was older than him? Isn't that odd?
That is a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it odd that none of the sons look remotely alike?
But the reason behind that, Phil, and I would have thought that as a Ponderosa file, you might have actually followed that through, because effectively they were from different mothers, and the mothers had actually died after he'd had the son, you see, effectively. That was the crucial thing.
All three were different mothers.
Yes.
And all of them have disappeared.
Oh, that's just weird. Is he a bit of a Bluebeard character?
What, Ben Cartwright? Ben Cartwright, a Bluebeard, please.
I love the theme tune to it, though. It's brilliant.
The only person on that whole show that I trusted was Hop Singh. I hope that episode had Hop Singh in it.
Tragically, no. There was no Hop Singh. But we did actually have Ricardo Montalban as a Native American in one of his early roles. Saying,
nothing could be better.
Nothing could be better for a first-year student than
Ricardo Montalban.
Exactly.
It's been tragic for me today not being able to listen to the first hour of the show because there was a problem with the streaming player on Siren Online, so I missed Michelle Monroe's segment. You know how much I always enjoy that.
Yeah.
Instead of getting to hear Matt Monroe, I think all I got to hear over and over and over again was 18 seconds of an R.E.M. song. Was it R.E.M.?
However, the good news is you can, of course, use our podcast facility to listen to all of those magical bits and pieces, with the exception of the music, because obviously for copyright reasons, when we put the things on the website, you have to sort of reduce the music considerably to about 30 seconds or thereabouts. But all of the comments of Cameron Tilbury, Jill Sennett and Michelle Monroe, all there. But then I take it you can, and Sarah Bullimore will be delighted at this, as indeed will Joy Knight, Natalie Tuck and Katie Grimerson, you will be able to summarise for the benefit of our listener what they've missed if they've only sort of just tuned in now for the last 42 minutes, Phil.
Well, if you are here in the United States, you've learned some fantastic slang. You've learned pervy. You've learned stretched fingers. In fact, I asked you, Alex, to explain what the long and the short of it actually means. What does the long and the short of it mean?
That's a really classic question, and I'm pleased you picked up on pervy and stretched fingers, this week's subliminal messages that have been going out there for the benefit of our KGB listeners. In terms of the long and the short of it, I think you're effectively relating to 6 2/3 in many ways, Phil, if that helps. 6 2/3, the long and the short of it. Natalie, how would you define the long and the short of it?
I don't know.
Joy, I mean, English graduate, MA, honours, distinction.
The long and the short of it.
That's the whole thing, isn't it?
That's the whole thing.
I'm just interested why we don't just say the whole thing. Instead of using, a euphemism that clearly none of you in the studio know the origins of. And we do that here in this country too. We have one that I love called By and Large. We say By and Large. Whereas for the most part, which is what we mean when we say By and Large, for the most part works fine. I don't know why we need to say words that literally mean next to and big, by and large, when all we mean to say is for the most part.
You see, I think that's a nice idea to run up the flagpole and possibly salute, but at the end of the day, remember it's a game of two halves, and fundamentally we don't like to slip into these kind of clichés.
Outstanding. Well played.
You think a little bit of riposting things there. It's like Brett Sinclair and Danny Wilde from The Persuaders. You're all too young to remember that, but it was Roger Moore and Tony Curtis.
I feel like we just wrote improv comedy together.
There we are. This is very true. Now, moving on to more serious matters. Your treat, of course, was the Paul Weller jam track. We now move on to a theme tune which I suspect you'll be able to jump straight into and say I'll identify quite easily. And I'm not sure what else could be said about the four folk in the studio. I don't know. It's a possibility, but I would say it could change. Joy, do you feel
just
lucky tonight?
I feel lucky.
Promise me it's not Torchwood, Alex, because after having you just spoil the entire ending to the series, for those of us in the States, let's say hypothetically here in Los Angeles, who are only now starting to catch on to the miracle of Torchwood, in the last segment, we just had the whole series ending ruined for us. So please tell me it's not the theme song to Torchwood.
No, it is not. But it is the theme tune to what I think has kind of got resonance even today in so many marvellous ways. I watched two episodes last night, actually, to psych myself up for the show. Or one of Joy's
Bonanza.
Jokes. It's not Bonanza either.
Oh.
No. But I have a suspicion you might... let's see, is yeah, three.
Oh, Alex, you're killing me. The suspense.
Well, here it comes. Worry not, your theme tune approaches. Can you hear it now? Coming through the air, coming through the ether. Whoa! So, Joy, you feel lucky about this, don't you?
I do.
Grinning. Do you feel lucky? Well, don't just break the whole thing away from that point. Can you tell us one interesting thing about the series you think it might be?
You know what? I can't remember anything about the series, but it's sort of unconscious. It's part of my unconscious memory. I'm sure I must have watched it with my brother and stuff. But you know, yeah.
Sarah Bullimore, what about yourself? Any sort of thoughts with respect to you know, the series itself?
Not the series. It's the title sequence.
Natalie, you weren't even born when this actually was. Emerging as a phenomenon. Three seasons it lasted, with Ernest Borgnine, Jan Michael Vincent, and indeed the fantastic Jean Bruce Scott, who's now actually working with Native American playwrights. What do you think it might be?
All those names just went
right over my head.
Over
you. Katie, likewise.
No.
It's not Bonanza, is it? It's not Bonanza.
I was disappointed. I wanted it to be Bonanza.
Katie, so, Johnny, what are you suggesting it might be? Because Phil, I think, might have... I mean, Phil, do you feel confident?
Oh, no, have I got it wrong?
I mean, I know
what it is, so please let Joy have...
Oh, no, you're going to watch me fall.
Joy, please, we're there
to support you. But I will say this,
I've lost my confidence now.
No.
The fact that this is part of Joy's unconscious memory, though, it shed so much light onto why she would choose to write about dystopian motherhood.
So what do you think it might be, Joy?
I think it's Airwolf.
Phil, is she correct?
I think she could not be more correct.
Yeah! Hooray!
Yes, indeed. A series that obviously Don Belisarius actually helped put together. And we had Ernest Borgnine as Dominic Santini. Jan Michael Vincent, who was in a Disney movie in the 70s. And in Airwolf, his character Stringfellow Hawk used to actually have a pet hawk, which used to circulate around him whilst he played the cello in a wood cabin. And to that, you've got the wonderful character of Alex Cord, who actually portrayed the sort of white-suited controller of a lot of FBI material or CIA missions and so on, and you had the ingredients for a series which certainly, in many cases, critics have actually said had allusions to a kind of divine theological perspective because, you know, you had all sorts of other white scenarios, Wolf and various other bits and pieces there. Anything you'd like to add, Phil Leonis?
Well, I was struck by how similar it actually is to the theme from Knight Rider. And however, it's always important to pay attention to every second of the theme song because, of course, the introduction of the theme song had a helicopter. Yes. So that ruled out Knight Rider. But also, Alex's well-phrased introduction was very key because he mentioned that he watched two or three episodes of it last night. And if it had been Knight Rider, there would have been no chance for him to stop at only two or three episodes.
David Hasselhoff and Edward Mulher. And, of course, Richard Basehart with One Man Can Make a Difference. Possibly the last thing Richard Basehart actually did in mainstream television before he popped his clogs and went up, you know, to the great sort of avenue in the sky. Do you know, I've realised that we've gone into 22 minutes and we haven't played this.
Of course, one of the big stars on The X-Files, and he's making a documentary called The Truth Is Out There.
One of the things that UFO research has done to me is instill in me a healthy disrespect for the things that government says.
They are poisoning our people. There is a population control agenda. There really are people who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world.
If we don't allow these corrupt banks to fail, then the nation will fail, and there will be no recovery.
Don't stand on the sides of the river and comment on how corrupt and dark and evil everything is. We all know that.
I don't need to have you understand or agree with me or believe. It doesn't matter to me. I know what I know.
The name of our film is?
The truth is out there.
But it really isn't.
But isn't there a universal truth that science is going for?
Perhaps the universal truth is what makes us subjective.
Okay, you just blew my mind.
Absolutely. Joy, you were saying that you thought Dean Haglund had a very chiselled face.
Yeah, I do. He's got a remarkable face, hasn't he? This sort of very, you know, strong
and
chin and, you know, very strong bone structure there. Is he Cancerian?
He's of Swedish descent. He traces his heritage to royalty. And the role he has always wanted to play is Beowulf. Not Airwolf,
yeah.
Beowulf.
Yeah. Got it.
But it has been written about him that if Kirk Douglas, and this is an actor who I don't think any of you would remember, but he was the father of Michael Douglas, an actor none of you would remember.
I am Spartacus. I'm Spartacus. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
If Kirk Douglas and Glenn Close had a love child, it might have been Dean Haglund. That's what has been written about him.
Oh.
So now you know.
So what star was he born under?
A wandering
what
swan.
What star was he born under? Yeah. David Duchovny. He was born under the star of David Duchovny, because without David Duchovny, The X-Files would not have been the hit series that it was, and we wouldn't be talking
you
about it.
You say that, Phil, but I have to say, surely, you know, the joys of Gillian Anderson, you know, had a certain sort of input into
it. You know the joys of Gillian Anderson?
Not personally, I haven't actually availed myself of
them. You can only dream.
Well, that's steady joy, please.
Sorry.
I would differentiate between star and actor, Alex.
Yeah.
That in saying that Gillian was a great actress from the beginning of the series, you go back to watch those early episodes, she is already on top of it. I mean, she is embodying fully a fascinating character from the very early episodes. It took David, the actor, a couple years to really find his stride. Mm. However, he was breakout as a star in terms of his public appearances promoting the show because he has such a larger-than-life personality and sense of humour.
Sarah Bullimore, just swing the microphone around to your good self, etc. Any questions you'd like to put to Phil Leonis? We've got 35 seconds.
Hello, Phil. I'm going to completely change the subject now and ask you what you're going to be doing for Christmas.
I'm going to do what I do every year. I'm going to make fudge. I'm going to write my pen pal in Belgium, and I'm going to put on a bathrobe and wander the street waving at passing cars.
Nice.
Excellent.
That just sums up the whole thing.
That's what I'm doing.
Katie, any questions from yourself?
No.
You haven't really been questioning people this time around, have you?
No,
it's all right. I presume you've been overwhelmed with your sister graduating today from a different university. That's quite okay and perfectly understandable. And, of course, tomorrow you shall be going back to Birmingham on the train. Natalie, are you set for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition tomorrow?
I'm afraid I'm quite busy.
She's quite busy. You see, you put yourselves out for these co-presenters and she says, I'm afraid I'm quite busy.
Well, it's just that if I don't get a certain piece of work done, then, you know, I would fail my degree.
Well, that's not good.
So,
obviously, clearly, yeah. So I don't know what's going to be happening with the Midweek Drive Morning Edition tomorrow, but hopefully you'll be there, dear listener. I think Jodie Orton is going to be joining us as well. In case you were sort of thinking, oh, right, I'll just settle down for the American Dream Team, it's gone. Go left Wednesdays, vanished, va-va-voom, sorted. It's now the Tuesday American Dream Team drive time, 5 p.m. through 7 p.m. on Tuesdays.
You've got a whole week to wait for it now, then.
Well, yeah, 6 days. It's all coming together from that sort of point of view. Sir, have you enjoyed the show now that you've been back with us?
I have very much. Thank you, Alex.
Are we coming along tomorrow morning?
I'm in meetings tomorrow morning, ready for plans for 2012.
For 2012, always very exciting. It's great material, etc. Well, we'll be going to a whole heap of fine folk tomorrow. But for now, Katie, would you like to throw those last two questions to Phil Dearness, please?
Have you enjoyed your conversation with us this evening?
I've loved the conversation, and I've loved yet again how Alex always responds to bad news, like asking whether someone's going to be on the show tomorrow or the first week in January. He always responds to bad news as if he doesn't much care and he isn't surprised by it. I love that. He just moves on. Yeah. He just moves on. It's quite an inspiration for me. And I salute him.
Well, you see, it's years of bitter experience at the end of the day. You just think, what's the point? You go to a mass of despair, just carry on. That's the bottom line, you know? Or indeed, as Ray Bradbury once said, you can make yourself happy or miserable. It's the same amount of effort. Thought for today. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed your show, Natalie?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's all right. You may be back for the end of the year. Are you around next week? Are you back
not, to I'm
you
afraid,
know? So this is it until 2012.
This is it, yeah.
London Boat Show. Joy, you're back next week, aren't you?
I am. I'll be back next week.
So Phil, you're back next week.
Phil Lernis will return.
Annette Andre's back with us next week. We have the Chief Executive Officer of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society joining us, and Sheila Jones from Gool will be coming in as well. The news is coming up at 7 o'clock, and then it's Mr. Computer. So to the assembled delights of Natalie Tuck, Joy Knight, Sarah Bullimore with her mince tarts. Pies? Tarts? How do you refer to them, actually, Sarah?
Pies.
Right. And to your good self, dear listener, and of course Katie Grimmison as well, and to the fine folk who are joining us from the start of the show, that's Cameron Tilbury, that's Jill Sennett, that's Tim Moulton, Sarah Pinborough, and yourself, Phil Leonis. We salute you. Take care. Here's Harry Nielsen. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye-bye.